You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Friday, the final day of this week with me. No need to stand up and cheer. I have Matt Moreno in with me. Today, for the full hours, we'll talk UA hoops, UA football, and anything else that we decide to talk about. If you want to call in, please do, 790-2040. In fact, we're going to give away some tickets to the Tucson Classics Car Show, sponsored by Rotary. Three four-packs, if you will. In fact, if you want to call in now, you can go ahead and you can be the first person to win four tickets to go to the car show on October 19th. It's a Saturday at the Gregory School. So four tickets for the first caller here at 790-2040. Matt Moreno, how are you? Tax season for me. I got to claim you. Yes, I think so.
It's coming up.
Already?
Yeah.
I file late. What's your social?
I'll tell you in the commercial break.
Damn, I thought I had you. What's going on?
Not much.
Arizona win tomorrow?
No.
I don't think so either. Because they're not good enough. They have trouble on the road. Colorado's better than we thought. What's the reason?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I think Arizona's good enough. I just don't. I think the combination of just everything they have going on with injuries and all that stuff, and then uncertainty for them, and then just playing on the road. They just haven't done well on the road.
No,
I mean, if you look at the point spread, I think it's 3.5 or 4 right now. It's mm-hmm. That's basically what that spread means, is that, you know, they're giving Colorado the home field advantage, and I just don't trust this team yet on the road. But I think they're better than what we thought when they started out the season.
And true.
I think Colorado's better than what we thought. I still just don't know what to make of them, because they've gone into overtime a couple times, and, you know, have been in some close games, but yet they beat ASU, beat Nebraska. So it's tough to figure out what to make of them, and they have some injuries on their own side too.
Right. If you were a gambling man, I know you're not, you're a smart man by not doing that. Would you say yay or nay on Khalil?
I'd say yay as of this moment.
Does that bode well for Arizona?
I think so. I think you're going to have to run the ball well if you want to win this game, and running the ball well also means having your quarterback do that. And as much as Grant Gunnell can be that type of player, he's not Khalil Tate, but he can run it more than he's shown he has so far. He's not Khalil Tate, and I think you need to have that little bit of extra kind of oomph in your running game, and Khalil provides that. I think everybody in that stadium, for the most part, remembers what he did to them 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes such a difference. We saw what kind of difference it makes last week when we saw Arizona play UCLA with Grant Gunnell. It's a different type of running game when you don't have him in taking the snaps. So I think it helps them in the running game, because I think if they're going to win this game, a lot of the work has to be done on the ground.
Right. And we're not, I don't know, what grade did you give Gunnell?
A B plus.
Yeah, I think I was going to give him a B. He was good. Good enough to win. It wasn't spectacular, but he was good enough to win, which that's all you need to do is win. So I think they're probably better off with Khalil for now.
Right now. I think so. You have a guy that's run the system for, well, not run this system, but he at least ran it for, mm-hmm. for a lot of last year. Mm-hmm. Has been, you know, has experience for the last 4 years. He's played, you know, in games the last 4 years, and I'd rather go with that than a freshman. But I don't think there's a lot of negatives if Grant Gunnell is the one who ends up getting the start, because I think you need to learn as much as you can about him, you know, within it, it all depends. Are you going to play him past the 4-game kind of threshold where he'd have to burn his red shirt? Or are you not? If you aren't and you're only going to play him 4 games, this is a good game to maybe test and see, okay, what is he made of? Can he play on the road? Can he go into an environment like this that's a pretty good road environment and do some things? Or let's say he goes out there and struggles, you at least know that. And mm-hmm. you can go, hey, next season we know this is what he doesn't do well when he goes on the road. This is what we have to work on. You get more information, because he is going to be the guy at some point.
Right.
And you need to know as much information. And with him being allowed to play 4 games, why not push that and see what he can do and give him a chance to play out on the road?
Which makes me believe that we'll see both guys. It's kind of like a curveball type of situation.
Yeah.
One who passes and one who runs.
Yeah, it might not be evenly split, but right. I could see a scenario where, you know, Grant Gunnell's out there at some point, mm-hmm. and, you know, just to switch it up. And it doesn't hurt for Arizona to throw him out there and right. you know, just have Colorado going, okay, now what do we do? We plan for this guy. We figure out what we need to do and kind of maybe confuse them a little bit too.
Right. And then no harm, no foul. See what happens. If one's good, I think that's a great luxury. Obviously, I think that's the no-brainer, Mr. Obvious, where it's a great luxury to have both. It's funny, Rich Rodder was one of those guys, I like to collect quarterbacks, but, you know, he really did. He had quarterbacks, but he never really had a true backup.
No.
Outside of Khalil to Dawkins.
It's hard. It's hard to do in college football.
Oh, yeah, because they're leaving.
Yeah.
They're leaving.
If you're not the starter, you don't want to be there.
Right.
Nobody wants to be a backup.
No, yeah. No one wants to hold the clipboard.
No.
Unless you're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
No, it's ego. It's playing. Everybody has that, you know, I'm coming here to play.
Well, look how unhappy Khalil Tate was when he was.
Oh, sure.
Before this game 2 years ago when he was that guy.
Yeah, and now it's public that he did go to Rich Rod.
Yeah.
And, you know, say, I'm ready to play and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I don't think we've ever asked, maybe we did or you guys did, to Rich Rod, and I'm sure it hasn't been asked of someone, but is Khalid, in fact, that's what reminds me of. He reminds me of Khalid, if this is the case, where he's not a practice guy, but once the lights turn on, he's a player like that, where you know, he'd rather play and not practice, because Khalid was that guy. He was a kind of just a dude who just showed up, and when game time showed up, he was Khalid. Khalil the same way?
I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay.
That's been the knock on him for going back to high school.
So the question doesn't need to be asked.
No. I've asked it before. I asked Rod Smith when he was here, and he kind of gave me a look because he knew that I knew.
You just wanted someone else to go on the record.
Right. And so, yeah, he kind of just gave me a look about it. Similar thing. The lights come on and he's somebody different. That's how you spin it. You don't spin it as, oh, he's not a good practice player. You spin it as, you know, when the lights come on, he's somebody different.
So that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one's going to admit that.
I've talked to Khalil about this back when he was in high school, because the whole thing about him being a receiver at one point, he never played receiver. He always played quarterback. But the reason the talk started was because in camps and different settings, 7-on-7 stuff, he would go play receiver. He would, you know,
just to keep him engaged.
Yeah. And so I asked him one time, because he was at the Rivals camp. There was a lot of good quarterbacks, a chance for himself to compete and show what he could do against other top quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He was doing receiver stuff. He spent some time with the quarterbacks. Then he went and started catching passes. And I said, wow, this kid's amazing. He looks like a receiver. And so I asked him, I said, what was that about? And he said, oh, I just get bored.
Right. No, and you could tell. I asked that question. I don't even know why I asked that question, but after thinking about it, maybe I'm late to the game. He does remind me of Khalid, where it's, you know, okay, I'll just show up and play. I'm that good. Where he's just kind of lopes around, and then when the lights turn on, boom, I'm gone.
Yeah, I think he's improved that. I don't think it's anywhere near where it was when he first came here. I think he's a better practice player now, but
yeah.
And you can kind of sense that from talking to the team, that they kind of, okay, we saw some things that we knew were going to show up on the field one day, but I think it's definitely something he's had to grow into, because, as I mentioned, I talked to him and he basically said, I was bored.
Right. Well,
I got bored.
So let me ask you this, because I'm now, you know how I am. I kind of go into tangents and stuff. DeAndre, same guy? Because everyone accused him, or a lot of people accused him of being.
And Sean Miller thinks we were lying.
Sure. No, he, yeah. No.
That or, was, he, or he portrays that he correct. Thinks we were lying.
So is it true? Or
absolutely.
That he too got
he would do that in games.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one person. That's the other thing. It wasn't like it was just me or was
it
just
was a
somebody.
Lot of people.
It was a lot of people who watched him over a prolonged period, not just one or two games, over years.
Right.
And we said the motor is something he's going to have to work on.
Sure.
Now, the thing that happens is you don't know what's in his mind. You can watch him as many times as you want, but something switches when you get to college. And, you know, now he's not that guy
you
anymore.
And
to me, it always struck me as kind of the smart kid in class who gets bored and becomes kind of a disruption.
Right.
Where it was so easy for DeAndre Ayton against normal high school players to do whatever he wanted that you could just tell it just wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And he needed to find some other type of competition that made it more challenging, because he just didn't look like he was having fun a lot of the time. And he could, you know, get 20 points and 20 rebounds in high school in his sleep.
Do you think that happened at all last year or the year before?
Maybe, but it
was not noticeable.
No, and I think it was, I would say no, because I think it was more, if he didn't put up numbers that people were expecting, which he put up very, very good numbers, it was because he was getting triple teamed and double teamed,
and there's other things
going on.
But that reputation followed him here until he had to prove otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. So Khalil, Khalil, I'll get my Khalils and my Khalids here. Khalil is kind of having to overcome that. It's amazing to me because if Gunnell came back and let's move Khalil somewhere else just to carry the ball or to hand the ball off to, he would get hurt, obviously. But if he could do that and be like the multi-purpose guy, that would be dangerous.
Well, that's why I think there's been so much respect paid to Jamari Joyner.
Right, because he could be that guy?
Yeah, I mean, he could, or to give up the quarterback spot is difficult, and nobody really wants to do it. He's playing quarterback. And the other thing, when you think about someone like Jamari Joyner, is he could have gone to a lot of other places.
To play quarterback?
Yeah, or no, to play another position other than quarterback. Mm-hmm. Arizona was going to give him the chance to play quarterback, right. So he picks Arizona. It's hometown school. There was other factors as well, but with him, schools never really jumped in to offer him because he would tell them, I'm playing quarterback. And they said, oh, we don't really think so. We're just going to move on.
Yeah.
So there's no telling where he could have been if he would have been a receiver and would have told them, hey, I'm willing to play receiver. But I think that's why he's getting so much respect from his teammates and the coaching staff, because that is a difficult decision to make. And I don't ever see Khalil making that decision. I mean, maybe if it comes down to a point where it's, hey, you're going to get paid or you're not going to get paid. Mm-hmm. You're going to get paid if you move to a different position, and you're not if you don't. Then maybe he makes that choice. But I just think he's so dead set on playing quarterback. That's one of the biggest reasons he's here at Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. Good point. Let's take our first break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And in with me is Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats, talking UA hoops, UA football, and whatever else anybody wants to do. Call in, please, 790-2040. I still have the tickets for the car show, the Tucson Classics car show, sponsored by the Rotaries. Rotary of Club of Tucson, if you like. 790-2040. First caller can get 4 tickets into the show. That's set for October 19th, a couple of weeks from tomorrow. So you expect Colorado to win? You said Arizona would not win, so.
Yeah, I think it'll be close.
Do you?
Yep. I think it's like a 3-point game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a 5-point game.
It's not a big difference.
In Vegas, it is.
True. to some people, it is.
So we'll see. I mean, what's impressed you with Arizona to this point? Anything? There's got to be a few things.
Yeah, the
please tell me, because
just, I mean, to me, the during the season, it's been the change from the defense, and that, you know, and again, I know what you're going to say, but
played anybody,
right?
Yeah,
but. I think to even make the changes that they have and have kind of the turnaround that they've had the last couple games as opposed to the first two, I think it's notable, and it's progress. You can see it. You can see that they're playing better, and you know, they're only going to be able to play who's on the schedule. They can't, you know, dictate that when it comes to the conference schedules. So you know, they're playing who they're playing, but I think that's been impressive. I think the cornerbacks have been really impressive. I've been impressed by Lorenzo Burns, in addition to Jace Whitaker, who's been really, really good. But Lorenzo Burns, I thought, has made a big turnaround in his game and has kind of made a step up in his development. I think it's been important for Arizona to kind of have those cornerbacks be effective and to have that kind of uptick in their production. And when you move Jace Whitaker over to play more safety, you need someone else to step up. And even the freshman, Christian Roland Wallace, Bobby Wolf, those guys have stepped up. And I think that's been impressive from those guys. And then the running backs always are impressive. And even without JJ, it's still such a dangerous group. And going to be a big part, I think, of whatever happens this weekend.
So you said Khalil, yes. What about JJ?
I don't know. I would. He was suited up last week.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would probably say yes at this point, but that's not based on any.
This is a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. Who's more important?
Khalil.
Because?
Because there's 4 other running backs that could do the same job that J.J. Taylor does.
I think that's a good answer. I think that's a good, safe answer. And I believe you. I believe you. Because, well, the thing is, who's more important? Okay, they have more important because they have backups at the running back spot.
Right.
They also have backups at the quarterback spot. Or right. A backup. But his backup is still questionable.
Can I ask Matt a question?
Yes.
If the Wildcats win, will it be the defense that wins it or the offense?
I think the defense.
I think you're right.
Oh, yeah. See, you come in town and he agrees with you right away. Me, not so much.
But I do think that's, I mean, I think that's what it's going to be. I do think a lot of it will have to do with the running game and what they're able to do on the ground. But I think ultimately the defense is going to be what wins the game. And we've seen that.
The defense from
because even when Khalil Tate was fine and they're playing Texas Tech.
Yeah.
It was still the defense that got the job done.
Let's also remember that Texas Tech is not that good.
Right.
Not that good.
Right.
All right. In that regard, what about the Colorado offense is the defense going to have to contend with? What's their strengths?
Throwing the ball. I mean, they have one of the best probably receiver groups overall that Arizona's seen this season. Texas Tech was pretty good.
We didn't do well against the Hawaii receivers. We did better against the Texas Tech receivers.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying I think that the difference for me and one of the things that stands out is how different the team looked from that Hawaii game and from NAU to the last two. So that's why we still really don't know, you know, four games into the season, almost going to be five. We still really don't know what this defense is made of. Again, we're looking at who they played.
Right.
And
they're still finding themselves.
Right. In a lot of ways, they definitely are still trying to figure out who they are and what they do well. But if you look at the two kind of notable wins this season, they've had a big part in making that happen. I think that's going to be another key again this weekend.
So I'll give you on a scale of 1 to 10, how good is Arizona?
Just overall, if we're taking into account every team in the country?
Team, yeah.
Probably a 6.
Yeah, I was going to say about that, 5 probably.
Yeah, 5.5. Somewhere in the middle.
Would you say they're better than UCLA even though they beat them?
Yes.
Would you say they're better than Utah?
No. Is this, you're like an eye doctor. Is this better or is this better?
1 or 2?
Well, I mean, giving them a number like 6 doesn't mean anything.
Well, no, in terms of being
what about
good.
What about ASU?
No.
Not right now.
No. Well, I'm talking about capacity. If they're probably as good as they're going to be, as good as they're going to be is a 7. As good as they're going to be, that's their peak. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
That's my number.
No, that's fine.
True. And yeah. You have them at, what, 6?
Yeah.
So they can get a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'll put them at 5.
Yeah, I think if you're expecting this team to be a 9.
You're crazy.
Yeah, you don't.
Exactly.
You don't,
and that's kind of what I wanted to do with it. They're not a 10.
No.
They're not a 9.
Well, 10 is
they're
Alabama and Clemson.
That's where I'll start. They're not a 10. They're not a 9. They're not an 8. They have maybe 7 in them.
They have some 7 qualities.
Right. Okay. And then, but they're about 6 is too high if they're a 7, I think. Because if that's their peak or max. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
And not to criticize your answer, but that's why I asked, where would you put them? I'll say 5 because we just don't know. I mean, come on.
That would be middle of the road, which
is probably
what they are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How would you guys rate Colorado against UCLA, Utah, and Arizona State?
Colorado,
they already played Arizona State.
And they beat them.
So let's use Steve's analogy. If Arizona's a 5, Colorado's a 6.
Yes, yes. And ASU's about a 5.5.
And yet you just said Arizona could be a 7.
Potentially. I'm not talking. They're not there now. To me, they're 5.
I think Steve means they could be a 7 in one game.
The more this Colorado game is sounding like a toss up.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
It definitely is.
Oh, we're not saying that's. Yeah, no question about that.
No, I said it's a 3-point game.
It depends.
Which
on
again
what
could go either way.
Arizona is Colorado still favored by 6 or more?
3.5, 4.
Oh, it's back from 6. Because they were, 6.5 there for a little while.
Do your Googling, Tom. Do your Googling.
You've got a computer. You Google.
I'm the host of the show, Tom. Let's set ourselves.
Yes, sir, boss. Yes, sir.
Let's put ourselves in perspective here. You're a 6.
I'm probably not even a 3 as far as you're concerned, but that's okay.
And don't tell Steve he's anything but a 10.
Yes, sir.
We don't show up to places not knowing we're a 10, baby. Whether we believe it or not, that's the question. But you know what I'm saying? I think they have that potential to get to that 7. If they show up and play an 8, I don't. They'd have to beat Washington. They'd have to play against Washington and beat Washington. Even USC, you know what I'm saying? They have to play to that potential.
Yeah.
Do they have it in
Which
them?
Is why I said if you're going to play Grant Gunnell, you need to figure out some more what you want to know about Grant Gunnell. This is the right game for it because after this, it gets too difficult, I think. Other than maybe Oregon State?
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree. You can still play both of them to get a feel of who's going to show up for the game.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of that litmus test. They can still kind of do both and, you know, have... That's the luxury of having two good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So here we are. We'll see how they use them. So beating UCLA last week was not a surprise to you.
No. I bought into the first 3.5 games from UCLA as opposed to 1.5 of the last game that they played before they got to Arizona. I just didn't think, I thought that was a very, and today Washington State's defensive coordinator quits.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he resigned.
Oh.
So to me, it was not a matter of UCLA being this dominant team, and now they, right. you know, the switch was flipped, and now they're going to be a dominant team. I bought way more into what they've done earlier in the season, and I just didn't think they were very good.
True. After this, they play.
So again, I don't know what that tells you about a 20-17 win. That
right? No. Exactly. We don't know. You know, to me, I compare life to racehorses, which is, you know, my analogy. I don't know. People are thinking I'm not dummy. But if you have a $500,000 horse against $50,000 horses, wouldn't you think that the $500,000 horses would beat the $50,000 pretty much every time?
And they should.
And they should. If they don't, then you have an issue. That's why they sell for that much. And Arizona's not a $50,000 horse, so maybe $100,000, but they're still in a league where there's a few higher-priced horses.
Yeah.
Whether they are fast or slow or whatever, you don't expect them to play that well against them. Next week, they play against a $500,000 horse.
Yep.
If they play well enough to win that game,
that's when we'll know. And that's
exactly.
If they win this week, even if they win this weekend, and let's say they win by 3 or 5 or whatever we're talking about, you really don't know even anymore. You just say that's a good win.
That's a good right.
You went on the road. That's another step forward, and then you got to figure out where you really stand next week.
No question. Even though you say, well, Colorado, no, it's okay. Yeah. Then I kind of move them up to a 6 or a 7. You know, and you kind of think, and then Washington comes into town, but that's kind of an unfair fight too. Because Washington's probably an 8. You know what I'm saying? They're probably an 8 against the 6 or 5. Then you're kind of saying, well, it should be like a 9-point game, 10-point game at least. So we'll see. We're ready to go. Is there a break, Tom? Let's go. Let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to the 6:34 hour. We almost missed that break. So you want to still talk football? We could talk football. It's my show. Oh, really? Tell Tom. So what did you find out with the spread? Did it stay the same?
Well, the consensus seems to be Colorado by 4.
By 4? So. That's about right. 4, 4.5.
Just enough to make everyone either lose their money or win some money.
That's why, kids, keep your money in your pocket. Never do that stuff. So let's continue. We can talk about football, basketball in a little bit. We'll see what happens. I think going on the road, people don't understand how difficult it is to win on the road under any circumstances. You know, I've seen enough football, basketball games over my time that if you don't show up and you're a big favorite, you're going to get your butt beat. This is not the case because Arizona's the underdog. But it's kind of like a 6-point swing on the road.
Yeah.
You haven't gone on the road a heck of a lot, have you?
Not. It feels like every time I do, they lose. So I kind of stop just to save the fans. I've seen a lot of losses on the road. I've seen a lot of interesting post game environments. Yeah.
Oh, how is it on the road with that? Because I haven't been on the football on the road since. Matt, ASU.
It's a little less organized, so you can maybe hear some things you shouldn't be hearing.
Oh, in the locker
room? A lot of ways, as you walk by.
Yeah, and it's football.
Yeah.
You expect to hear stuff like that.
So when they got beat at Washington on Halloween a few years ago, I was there for that one. Was an interesting environment.
Rich Rod. I think he's just an interesting guy, especially when he loses.
Yeah.
You've covered, how many coaches have you? You're a young man, so you haven't covered many coaches.
Just overall, and
who's your coach? Did you coach you covered somebody at Long Beach State? Yeah, obviously,
Dan Munson, who's still there.
Uh huh.
And he made us wait an hour and 45 minutes to do a post game press conference.
Really?
One time. Yeah,
that's.
And he was surprised that anybody stayed. Frank Burleson, who you've had on the show before, he was there as well. He was working for the Press Telegram, and a few of us stayed because at a certain point, you're saying, "I'm here still. Why am I going to leave now?"
It must have been a day game.
No, it was a night game.
So what was this? He tried to outweigh you guys?
Pretty much.
And what did he get? His butt kicked or what?
Yeah, they got beat pretty bad.
Pretty bad. So he didn't want to talk.
He yelled at them for, I guess, so the sports information people were basically telling us, like, yeah, he's still going. We walked in there and we had to kind of shut the door real quick and walk out, and he's still going. So
an hour and a half?
Yeah, it was probably an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes or so.
So when you guys waited him out?
He came in and he basically said, oh, you guys are still here. I thought you were going to leave.
So was he better? After
it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as you would think. It wasn't as bad as you would think. But yeah, it was a long one. At a certain point, though, you're there for an hour. You know, most people there were people who said, "Oh, I'm out of here." They waited 20 minutes and said, "Oh, I'm going to be gone."
Sure. So you know, the thing about it is, it was a late night. You're writing your story, and then you had to get back to your story.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. At that point, you're just trying to write and
right.
and
fill in
we
the
were,
blanks.
I was a student, so it was a student paper, and it was a daily. So we were going back and forth with what to do, and hey, can you wait a little bit longer? And it was
So what time did the game end?
Must have been 10 o'clock, so we probably got him just before midnight.
And your deadline had already come
and gone. Yeah, it was already coming on. But we had online and all that stuff. But yeah, the story had no quotes.
That's funny. That's funny.
But again, it became, I think Frank maybe left after 45 minutes or so. I think he waited out longer than he probably should have.
Yeah.
He obviously has a different deadline than we do, and we're trying to do the same things, but his is more important than, the student paper. But yeah, some of us just waited. And he kind of just joked like, oh, you guys are like, I think he was waiting. I think he was fully expecting to go in there and, hey, no one's here. I don't have to talk. Let's go home.
And then you can't say that he didn't show up because, he showed up just at 12.
Yeah.
So that's funny. That's funny. I don't think that's ever happened to me. Although you just kind of, some days you hope that they didn't show up.
Yeah. But like I said, at a certain point you're going, why am I still here? And then you're like, well, I know if I leave, he's going to walk in.
Right.
And why did I wait an hour for this guy if, he's going to talk and I wasn't there for it? What was the point of me even waiting that long?
Was it at home or away?
It was at home.
So then you're, where are you going to go? But wait.
Yeah.
That's funny. So you've covered a few, Rich Rod, horrible loser. We all know that. I didn't speak a lot when he lost.
And Long Beach State baseball was obviously very, very good. Kind of in the years before I got there, the years I was there, it wasn't very good. They fired a coach. So I kind of dealt with that. And, their coach had been there for a long time and he coached kind of all those guys that had made it to the majors. He wasn't let go. He retired in quotes.
Yeah. I wish I could retire. In quotes. Okay. So, you've only dealt with Rich Rod, maybe Stoops a little?
A little bit of Stoops, yeah.
A little bit of Stoops. And he was not a great quote, but he was okay.
Yeah.
After losses, He and then obviously Rich Rod and now Sumlin. Sumlin's, I don't know if he's gotten better. Although we haven't seen
I was thinking, it was funny because I know you've had this conversation too. I was thinking about Rich Rodriguez today because obviously the video came out last weekend of him
in
the press box. And I was saying, fans, it's interesting when people, and obviously we all grew up as fans. That's why we're in this business at one point. And I was thinking, well, you just can't win. You're either too passionate like Rich Rod and you just care too much, or you're, people like to talk about Kevin Sumlin, they don't feel like he has enough passion. It's like you can't win with any.
Right.
It's difficult to, they just want middle of the road, I guess, and to be mad when you should be mad. And
welcome to my world, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world. No, I get it. No, that's funny because Stoops was that crazy guy on the sideline.
Yeah.
And everyone said, oh, he's crazy, blah, blah, blah. But you want that guy.
Yeah.
But then you get Rich Rod, who was that guy, but not to that extent. He was more, I think he was more animated when we didn't see him. I think, in practices, and that was his MO at Michigan. Language and getting on the guys and yada yada.
As bad as it got, maybe there were moments that we didn't see that it got really bad.
I'm sure there were.
They used to have open practices that were open. You could be there for a lot of that stuff. When people started kind of reporting on it, you could tell that it got a little bit more closed off. And there was video of him online that I think came out at one point. It was on TV at one point.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah.
The one time, let me interrupt real quick and you can go back to it, but the one time I remember, and you were probably there when Sean Poindexter got hit on the sideline in practice early in the season. Do you remember this? By Crunching, I think, one of the guys, and he went off. He stopped practice and went off selfish.
Oh, early on when they used to, they had spring practice at Keno.
Okay.
It was, I think, the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Tevis came and just lit somebody up over the middle, starting receiver. I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Austin Hill.
Okay.
Someone that was a starter and just completely lit him up, and he went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, this is a sport. You're not supposed to be doing that to your own teammates. It's a spring game. And I thought the moments that, even as bad as it got when we were all around, I could still find, whether it's humor or you go, that guy's crazy, but not necessarily thinking, oh man, he's legitimately crazy, but you go, man, that's a fun, I would find that entertaining as opposed to, man, there's something wrong with this guy. But when you're on the other end of it, I don't know.
When he's, ripping you mean? Or what?
No, just the players and things
True.
I don't think it would come off as bad as everyone thinks it
would. Right, true, and they were probably used to it, though.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah, I remember the time that he got into it with Steve, the center. Girola. Remember, you remember that when
I think we were talking about that on one of the previous shows.
Right, right. So Steve went back at him, and they, you know, cursed at each other and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you know, okay. But that's football. I mean, that's football. It's not player to coach football, but it's football.
Yeah.
Where you curse and you yell and you know, whatever. And then you get it. Then it's over.
Yeah.
But he was that guy that kind
of... There's a certain era for that, and I think that's where the difference is with today's players. You want someone that is less like that. I think for a lot of guys, I think some players think they don't want that, and then they get in that environment. They go, no, this is pulling the best out of me. Right. I think that's what happens with a lot of Rich Rodriguez players. They maybe get discouraged by it when they first, you know, the first practice, and they're getting screamed at.
Right.
But then they start to understand, oh, no, this is pulling the best out of me. And I think that's when you saw the reaction from that video. A lot of it was old players saying, no, this was a guy I remember. And they were thinking of it nicely and fondly in a good way, as opposed to, oh, man, look at that crazy coach. That guy, I can't believe I played for that guy. It was a lot of, you know, positive things being said.
Right, right, right. Let's go to phone lines. Gloria, how are you, Gloria?
Mijito lindo, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. The weather is great, so that means I am great.
There you go. And I want you to know how much I love your show that Teddy asked me out for a date night, which at 73 is like the most exciting thing that can happen, right?
Who did Teddy? Who's Teddy?
Teddy is my husband.
Oh, okay. Cool. Holy moly. Okay.
Yes. And so he asked me out on a date night, and I said, I cannot go until 7 after Mijito's show is over.
Wow. Tell Teddy I'm sorry for that. But he'll take you to a nice dinner, I'm sure. You'll enjoy the night out. Great, great. Thanks for listening.
Right.
Thanks for listening.
Now, here's the thing. Monday night, you had Mr. Danahy from the Tucson Weekly.
Yes.
I don't like his writing too much, Mijo, but he was funny as the dickens. And you were funny. It was, you know, when you're gone, I hope you don't get sick, but if you have to be gone, save that show for the best of, you know,
okay.
And you have to rerun a show. I could listen to it right now. We were going to the honor flight, you know, we're welcoming back the veterans. And we sat in the parking lot at the airport and listened to your show as long as we could before we had to go in, because we were enjoying it so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. When I have a good partner and they make me laugh, I make them laugh too. Moreno's not that guy yet.
Who is the young man with you? I came on late and I didn't hear
his name. It's Matt Moreno. He's one of my guys on the Sports Guys. Works for Go Easy Kids. I'm trying to give him to lighten up a little, but, you know, he's a little kid. But
he'll grow into it.
No, actually, let me tell you something. Of anybody who's been around me long enough, Matt Moreno speaks Steve, or he understands Steve, so that's good.
You're on the same planet.
You say planet. At least he can understand my gibberish. Yes, Gloria, have a good date tonight with Ted. I didn't even know your husband's name.
Teddy.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
I collected teddy bears and then I married one. Take care.
Good for you. Thank you, Gloria. Appreciate it. Thanks. Hey, Tom, let's go to our final break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. In with me is Matt Moreno.
You mentioned before we went to break about a podcast that you and Matt do. Is that on YouTube?
It's will you put it on YouTube or no?
I haven't put it on YouTube. It's on Vimeo.
So we do a show.
Yeah, tell people how they can watch it.
It's called The Sports Guys. I think we're in our fifth or sixth year with Anthony Gimeno. We do almost a weekly show talking about Arizona football and Arizona basketball. It's kind of popular. We get about 5,000 views a week. We put it on goazcats.com. If you're a subscriber there, you can see it there. And All Sports Tucson, obviously, you put it there. And
is it a daily thing or a weekly thing?
It's a weekly thing, once a week when we have time, but it's mostly a once a week after a game or before a game. And we used to, you know, we had good guests, Jake Fisher and the late great Dick Tomey and some of the other coaches.
Rich Rodriguez was on there.
Rich Rodriguez, yes. Jake Fisher was a host at one point. It's still a lot of fun. We put it out there, and I just posted mine today on the basketball season, the beginning of the basketball season. So Yeah, we do it. It's a lot of fun. My vision when I first created it was about back in the day when they had this old sports writer sitting around a bench or a restaurant bar and kind of smoking cigars.
The hot stove guys?
Yeah. The Chicago guys suck, blah, blah, blah. But that's, and we don't smoke. Yeah, we don't even drink. We're a bunch of boring guys. So it's just talking around a sports desk.
We're talking baseball.
Yeah, something like that. So let's talk a little basketball now. Wait, let's make a quick prediction. Arizona losing tomorrow, you said?
Yep, I have it 31-28.
31-28, okay. I'll give you something like that. I'll give it maybe 34-27. I think it'd be close for a while.
I think that's exactly. So myself and the me of the Colorado Rebel site, switch articles and we kind of do a Q&A for each other's sites. I said 31-28. I think he said 34-27 for Colorado.
Now, is this with Gunnell starting, or do you think Khalil's going to be ready to go?
At this point, I think Khalil's going to be the guy. But, I mean, that doesn't mean we won't see Grant Gunnell. I think Steve feels pretty confident that we'll see Gunnell at some point tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you'll see both guys. I think that would be the smart move. Not that I'm going to tell him what to do, but I think you get to play throw a curveball every now and again. Maybe not every other possession, but at some point kind of throw somebody else.
But I think regardless of that, I think it's going to be 31-28. I just think it's more to me about the defense and the running game, what they're going to be able to do. And when you have those two things working together, going based off the last couple games, it feels like we know what the result is. And it's a little bit not scoring in the 40s or 50s. It's more a little bit lower than that and controlling the clock and things like that.
Right. Let's just the gears. I think they're going to lose too. So let's talk about basketball for about 5-6 minutes. Red Blue was last week. We did a show on Sports Guys, talked a little about that. Who was the most impressive player to you?
I think I'm going to stick with Devonair Dutrieve. And just because, and it has more to do with that, I know what everybody else can do. We really didn't get to see a lot of the newcomers really like spread their wings or anything like that. Nico kind of did his thing. Josh Green, I've seen him, dunk the ball a lot of times and do what he did. All the newcomers, I kind of know what they've done, and there's not a lot of difference between what they did in high school and what we saw in the Red-Blue game. For some guys, they look better in high school. But to me, the person that you said that guy has made improvements is Devonair Dutrieve. And that's what we've heard, so it's a positive sign that he showed that in the Red-Blue game. But if he's going to have to be that new Brandon Williams, I think he looks ready for that role. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked to you about this, and I've had a lot of people tell me, and when I watched him in high school, he said that guy, he works better when he has the ball in his hand, and he's able to kind of dictate the pace and do some things that way. And Sean Miller basically said that after the Red Blue game, and right now it sounds like he's going to be that guy that backs up Nico Mannion, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out over the course of the season.
What came out to me about Dutrieve was he has obviously gained a lot of confidence since last season.
Well, he may not even have been here. He almost transferred.
Yeah.
3 months, 4 months.
That's true.
Yeah,
so
I wrote
he was
about
getting
that
ready to leave, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a point when he wasn't on the roster.
Right.
And then he could be your most, maybe, like the sixth man or your kind of most improved player or most important reserve, one of those roles. I mean, that's a big step for him. And I think, to me, I see it as not necessarily growth and development as much as he's just being allowed to do more of what he naturally does well and just giving more of an opportunity. And I think that...
We're seeing the real Dutrieve coming up.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think last year he kind of was just trying to figure out what his role was and how he could fit into that team. But I think this year, I think the confidence is coming from the fact that he's allowed to do more and it's put on him to kind of do some more things and show what he can do that's more true to his game and true to himself.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the guy most happy about all this, besides Devonair, who? Sean Miller,
yeah.
Yeah, they need him, and he's going to score.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's if you looked at this team and you just look at what it is on paper, that was the thing that jumped out, is who's going to play the backup point guard role, because you're not playing Nico Mannion 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give him a rest at some point. Who can step into that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and who's going to assume the mantle of the closer, the guy you want to have the ball in his hands at
Mannion.
The end of the game?
Yeah, it has to be Nico. I think he's built and made for that role.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's your guy, and he's a capable point guard, but he's also a capable scorer, so you're going to have that kind of double threat with him.
Right. I've said this before, and I saw him after that one camp. I haven't seen him a whole heck of a lot just in TV in the high school stuff, but we talked about this on the other show. I love his gait. I love how he handles himself. It's not a cocky guy. In fact, I can't remember the last cocky guy to come through here. Trier maybe, but he had a different gait. Mannion does not have, he has a great gait. It's a I belong here gait. No one's going to intimidate me. I'm good enough to be at this level.
But it's not a you're all here to see me.
No. It's a team. It's a team thing, which another thing is great. He knows when to shoot and when not to shoot. Am I accurate?
Yeah.
And he's to me, eventually, I think he's going to remind me of Mike Bibby. In a, I'll get what I get when they give it to me, but I'm going to let everybody else play too.
I think at his position, he knows him scoring isn't his only job.
Right.
And he can still look good and still impress people without just scoring the ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen enough yet to really just make a decision on this one, I don't think. But in the past, the three-point shot has been a shortcoming of the team. Have we seen anything that we might hopefully see a better response from the team as far as three-point buckets?
I think, again, it's going to be a lot on one guy, and this year it's Max Hazard. If he doesn't shoot the ball well, they might be in some trouble there because I don't know that anybody's going to do it consistently enough to make a huge difference and to make up for him not shooting the ball well.
Dylan Smith was supposed to be one of the three-point guys. Is he improving? Do you know?
I think the Dylan Smith that you saw two seasons ago is the same type of Dylan Smith you're going to see this season. I don't know that there's a lot of development that's happening there. I think Sean Miller likes, what he is and who he is. He talks about his defense a lot, and I think you take what you get when it comes to his shooting, but I don't know that he's going to make a transformation. If he hasn't done it yet, it's not something that's going to happen in his last year just because.
Are we going to see better team defense this year, season?
Yes.
I think a lot of that has to do with just the size, too. I mean, they're just going to have a lot more length all across the board, and I think that helps with the type of style that, Sean Miller likes to play.
Let me say this. I think. Let me ask a quick question first. Who's going to be the unsung hero of this team?
I still say Zeke Nagy.
Really?
Yeah, I still say Zeke Nagy. I still think he's capable of being the guy that when you look back and however far they go, let's say they go to Elite Eight or Final Four, whatever, that you say they couldn't have gotten there without Zeke Nagy. I still think that very much of him and his abilities. I think he has next level talent and is capable of being that guy.
That's a good pick. I haven't seen him often enough to know because you saw him that one time.
Yeah.
But the guy that really impressed me, again, we talked about on the show, was the Cornell transfer, where he's going to be kind of like that, not a Swiss Army knife, but kind of, where he's got a lot of tools. He's just not flashy.
It'll be interesting. I think if he's just Ryan Luther, though.
Oh, no, I don't. But he's better than Ryan Luther.
Yeah.
I think. Don't you think?
Is he going to get enough opportunities?
I don't know, but if the opportunities are there for him, if he gets four and he does, that's all you need with this group, and you'll say, there's that guy that steps up again. It's like T.J. McConnell. You'd think, who would have thought? But he was the glue to that team.
Yeah.
And the other thing is depth, overall depth.
They have that. No question they have that near the basket and away from the basket.
I think one of the X factors for this team that is going to, I think, pay off is they have really, really smart guys who I think really, really understand the game.
Yeah.
They have a lot of smart players.
You brought that up. Yeah, somebody brought that up. Or it's maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I'll ask this of Sean when we see him again in 2021. But that maybe with they had TJ, they had Nick Johnson, they had the smart dudes where they played well together. Similar to this year?
Yeah, and I think they're both intelligent just off the court and intelligent just in life, but I think they're also very basketball smart.
Right. That goes unbelievably important.
Yeah.
We got to go. Gwent, really quick, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Here we go, here on 1030 The Voice. See you next week. Thanks, everybody.